Welcome back to the show. 9:14 here on a Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. And that, of course, is Tiger Woods, who has just teed off on his first hole of the first round of the PGA Championship. And to the point of that walking is the biggest thing that he has to deal with. Going downhill, so the first tee ball he hits, it's the tee box itself is way up, and then there's some stairs that go down till you get to the fairway. And he actually used his he hit with a three wood. He actually used his three wood as a bit of a cane
to go down
the stairs, and then kind of using it as he's going down the fairway as well. Mm-hmm. So just speaking to that that walking is as crazy as it sounds, mm-hmm. the biggest challenge that Tiger Woods has is walking the 36/72 holes he'll have ahead at the PGA Championship.
Get the guy a cart, J.R. Come on. For the betterment of golf, get him on the cart so he's ready to go for every shot. It'd be better for everybody involved.
Okay, let's find out what our next guest would feel about that. I'm guessing not good. To the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go, and we welcome the host of Tee It Up, our friend El Hamo, Kevin Hame. How you doing, Kev?
I'm great. Tiger's on the course.
Yes.
Life is good.
Yeah, yeah, but no cart, right? We can't have him in a cart. Come on.
What about one of those mono rider little ones you see at the mall? We could weld a bag stand on the back of it.
Exactly.
Away he goes.
Yeah. So I think for a lot of people, not layman golfers, weekend golfers, but just people who don't really play the game at all, who think, come on, how challenging can walking 18 holes of golf really be, especially when you don't have to carry your bag? So why is it such a big deal for Tiger Woods?
Well, fair enough, but he almost lost his leg a year ago, and you know they said he might lose his leg. They almost cut it off, and they never said you wouldn't walk again. But he's got metal rods and screws and everything in there, and it's only been a year. So anyone who's had a hip surgery or a knee surgery or something like that knows there's a challenge, and especially the ultimate test was Augusta because of all the uneven things. We don't think about that when we're healthy, but. You know, if you ever go hiking in the mountains or the hills or whatever, that you get shin splints, a little bit, or some aching in your calves, and it's just using different muscles and all the muscles, right? And his are still kind of recovering, I guess. And I don't know if they'll ever be normal, but here we are at another golf course. It's in the name, right? It's called Southern Hills, so it's another pretty hilly walk for him.
Kev, is it a good sign, though, that he did play the Masters and that he has returned for this tournament?
Oh, my God, it's awesome. I mean, it's good on so many levels for golf, Sean, and I thought he did pretty well. I was feeling great through Tuesday night. He actually wasn't walking with much of a limp, and yesterday he looked like it was pretty taxing on him. So after three straight days in a row, now he's got to go through Thursday through Sunday. But, yeah, amazing. Made the cut, finished 42nd. I mean, the guy's done close to zero practicing, and he finished 42nd in the first major of the year. So I expect him to make the cut again.
So what a threesome that he's in with. Jordan Spieth, incredibly popular player and playing in Oklahoma, and of course he's from Texas, so he'll have a huge fan base there. And Rory McIlroy is arguably, in terms of the international stars, right at the top of the list. For the other two guys, they're popular in their own rights, Kev, but Tiger takes it to a different level, just in terms of the amount of people following them around. Will those guys, will it be a challenge for them, or would they be used to just the craziness that is playing golf in Tiger Woods' group?
No, they'll love it. I think those two will love it. They're the only two, I would say, the only other needle movers with non-golfers. Like, if you mention Rory, people will look over at the TV, or Jordan Spieth. He's got so many weird things happen to him on the golf course. He's pulled some miraculous shots off. So he's got a lot of charisma, too, and they'll just eat this up. This is what they live for. I mean, can you imagine a 10-year-old Jordan Spieth or a Rory thinking about, having all the crowds on the golf course following them, playing with Tiger? I mean, this is as good as it gets. I don't think they're upset about this at all. It'll get him in the zone, too, right? Both guys, especially Rory. Rory's stroke average in the first round of a major is abhorrent. It's really bad, and for the next 3 days he always plays well. So if he can really focus today and get in his zone early, and it's a big deal to him and play well today, I think Rory's going to be, one of the favorites for sure.
How do you look at that, Kev? Because I look at a guy, it's almost like I play terribly, all the pressure's off, and then I take a late charge, but you never win, or at least that feels like from the outside person like myself and watching Rory.
It's certainly been the case, a backdoor thing, right? It's a backdoor top 10 or a backdoor whatever, like that thing he did at the Masters, no disrespect to him, shooting, 64 and holding out on 18. It was all quite cool to watch, but he had no chance of winning. So, you need to get right in there, right off the bat. Ironically, Tiger's never been a great star. Oh, there goes Tiger. Did you see that, guys?
Yep.
He knocked it to 2 feet. Hello.
First hole.
First hole. Well, back to Rory for a second. Tiger's never been a great starter either. I mean, he shot 40 the first nine back when he won his epic 1997 Masters by 12, you know, so he's a little bit of a slow starter too. The really cool thing about Tiger at this golf course, because there's so many undulations in it and so many dog legs, he won in 2007 hitting 6-iron off the tee on some holes and doing all kinds of creative things to keep his ball in play and go to certain spots on the dog leg, right, so you have the best shot into the green. And if he can do that, he's put the 2-iron back in his bag this week. He's taken the 5-wood out, and he hits that stinger shot, right, which I saw on Twitter last night. Someone said when he hits the ball from 5 feet away, they were following him, hitting some 2-irons off the tee. It sounds like someone drops a bowling ball from shoulder height into a bathtub. I mean, that's how loud and intense it is. So I think that is really going to help him. The other thing that's happened at this golf course is Gil Hance has gone in, one of the great golf course architects today, and he's kind of brought it back to what it was supposed to be, and the runoffs off the greens are really big. So if you don't hit the golf ball in the right spot, the ball will run off, and it's a very difficult course for chipping and putting. And of course, who's one of the all-time greats around the green is Tiger. So that'll help him too. So if he can withstand the pain and of walking, and if his leg holds up a little bit, I think he's got at least a top 10 chance. I'm not sure he can win the bloody thing, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Talking golf with Kevin Hayne, PGA Championship is underway. So I saw the description when they came on the air this morning, Kevin, of the Southern Hills golf course. So the fairways this year, they've got them playing on average about 40 yards wide, which is quite wide. There are 71 greenside bunkers. So if you do 18 holes, that's about four greenside bunkers per hole on average. And there is water in play on 15 of the 18 holes. Some people I've read this week have suggested it's kind of like Augusta, just from what you know of the course and how you think it'll play. Is that an accurate description of how it will play for the next 4 days?
No, I think the greens have more runoffs like a Pinehurst. Actually, you know, Dutch Seve, I was talking about you on Saturday on the show when we went to Oak Hill. It's more a golf course like that. You know, it's tree-lined, lots of dog legs, little creeks meandering through it. So you've got to really position your golf ball, John. So I like the comparison to Oak Hill more than I do to Augusta National. And we all know you surgically dismembered that golf course. So it's fantastic.
Hey, it was 6 over through 12 holes.
You were getting up and down from everywhere. That's where the nickname Dutch Seve came from.
Yeah, and then broke the trophy.
Then it went. Yes. Remember, Kevin, we held up the Wanamaker trophy to take the picture, and I didn't realize the top came off, and it came off in my hand, and I thought I'd broken the trophy.
Do I remember? It was one of the great moments of my life.
Anyway, all good. Okay, so I've heard some people suggest that John Rahm, who will tee it up this afternoon, and speaking of favorites of a lot of golf fans, in terms of his form and in terms of the way this course plays, that he is not necessarily going to be a favorite this week. What are your feelings on John Rahm?
Well, I was watching Golf Channel last night. So let me finish up on the Masters Southern Hills thing just for a second, because in a way, it's like Augusta in that you have to hit a certain part of the green. If the green is 6,000 feet around, like picture a Calphalon frying pan upside down, you know, you have to shrink 30% off of it because you've got to land the ball in the middle of the green, or it's going to roll off into one of those 70-some bunkers, JR, or into a low gathering area. And the other thing is the rough around the greens is Bermuda grass, which is really sticky. It's like trying to chip out of SOS pads. You know, it's sticky and hard. Anyone who's played in Florida in the winter knows what that's all about. The ball doesn't, your club doesn't just slide through it. But John Rahm right now, so in shots gained around the green, which is the newest, hottest stat, right, comparing through ShotLink satellite data, every guy on tour from similar locations getting up and down and making putts, John Rahm this year is 154th. So he's not even close to contending in putting and chipping. So that's why people are saying that he doesn't have a great chance. But if you can hit 60 greens, you know, if you can have a really great ball striking week and hit a lot of greens, then I don't think he has to worry as much about it. He's got a shot because he's an elite, elite ball striker. My favorite ball striker on tour right now. He really hits a low penetrating shot. But if he starts missing greens, it's game over.
Thoughts on Phil not being there this week, and where do we go from here with Phil?
Who's to say? If he doubles down and plays in this first LIV event, this first Saudi event in London in June, in early June, I think it could be sayonara Phil for quite a while. Mind you, look what Tiger went through between the all the women and everything and what he did to his personal life and the painkillers, and people love him now. I mean, they say in the U.S., you know, we love to – it's a comeback story, but they also love to tear you down. I mean, Phil said something he shouldn't have said. I even think he acted – in a despicable manner, really doing whatever he could greedily to get some cash, right? So it was all about money, really. And they tore him down pretty quickly. I mean, one quote went viral, and that was the end of him. So it depends on what he does next. Richard Bland just said he's playing in the first event. Whether they ban him from future Ryder Cups in Europe or not, he's going to play in it. Lee Westwood has said he's going to play with the Saudi on the Saudi Invitational League, they're calling it, instead of a tour.
Sergio?
We'll see. Sergio's another one. Yeah. He's threatened to do it as well. So it'll be very interesting. You know, what happens to Westwood and Sergio, Ryder Cup lore, if Sergio's never the captain, right? And they kind of ostracize him because he chooses to do this. So we're at a really interesting place in the politics and the world order of golf right now. And I don't know where it's going to lead, but it's Phil's next move. If Phil comes back and acts with contrition, he'll be even more popular. I mean, if he apologizes and said, I've spent the last 6 months reevaluating my life, and I love the PGA Tour, and I just hope the guys will take me back, then he'll be super popular again. So I think it's in his hands.
I think anybody, Kev, that's seen the career, or especially Phil Mickelson, the career earnings of these guys, both on the course and in endorsements, a lot of these guys have made incredible amounts of money, and they look, and listen, any athlete, hockey player, golfer, whatever, I'm always for if you want to make the most money, go for it. I never want to say you should sign for less than you should, but I kind of look at these guys in particular and go, just why? I mean, how much more money can you make on this thing, honestly, than what you're making already, let alone the profile you're gonna lose, presumably?
Yeah, it makes no sense. But Phil Mickelson's won $880 million in his career, is a number I read. But there's another book coming out. Remember, he was stuck in that insider trading with that professional mm-hmm. gambler guy who went to jail, and that guy's writing a book. So Shipnuck, who wrote this current biography, unauthorized biography of Mickelson, said that between 2010 and 2014, he's lost $40 million gambling. What's this other guy going to say? Because he's got a vendetta. Mickelson actually kind of testified against him and gave either the FBI or whoever was investigating everything they needed on the guy, and the guy went to jail. And now that guy's got a book coming out. So what are we going to see next about Mickelson? And maybe that's why he's staying away, is because he knows there's more body punches to come, right? But yeah, you're right, JR. All he had to do, he could have retired after the Kiawah Island and given everybody a thumbs up in every shopping mall he went to, and he would have been as popular as Arnold Palmer, and you know they would have put him in the tower, paid him $20 million a year to be a commentator,
yep.
And he wouldn't have lost KPMG, and he wouldn't have lost, you know...
Callaway?
Callaway, and he had Stella Beer. He had so much stuff going on. And he would have made himself $30, $40 million a year for the rest of his life. So deciding to take the money from the Saudis. Now, there's another interesting thing. Have they paid him already? What kind of a box is he in? Like, he was instrumental helping them put together the format and everything. So maybe when they met with him 2 years ago, he said, well, give me $150 million up front, and I'll do this for you. They may have paid him already, so... You know, you don't know what's really going on behind the scenes, but I think there's a lot to this story. It's very intriguing for sure.
And to that, Kev, is there not also part of you thinks, hey, it's a new challenge? And then are we also a little naive on how much more marketing there can be in the rest of the world and a lot of cash? That doesn't mean you have to be on the PGA Tour, which is kind of Americanized.
You know it. But mind you, the thing about it, it's like the Stanley Cup. I mean, you can make money in Russia, Sean, but the Stanley Cup is it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the rest of the world it isn't, but in golf it's all about the four majors and the Players' Championship. And, you know, I think they've got strong partnerships with the PGA Tour and ownership in the case of the Players. And I'm not sure that Phil's ego wants to win a bunch of money over in Thailand where, you know, he's relatively popular, but he's not the man, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one as well. I know one thing. Tiger really... put his position in a camp against Phil this week, because someone asked him, have you called Phil? He said, why would I call Phil? And they said, well, he's probably straight. He says, look, there's a disagreement about the PGA Tour. I'm pro-PGA Tour. He's against. There's really no reason to have sympathy for Phil, you know, so there's no reason to call him. So Tiger was pretty blunt about the fact that, you know, he's not feeling bad for Phil right now.
Real quick thought, Kev, three Canadians in the field at the PGA, Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes, in terms of the form they're in right now and the way they play, with this golf course, which of the three do you think has the best chance to contend, if you think any of them do?
Well, right now, I don't think any of them are in strong enough form to contend. I was more excited at the Masters with Mackenzie and Corey, but, you know, they all have a game. Like, Hadwin is very consistent, although, I wouldn't say his last year and a half has been very good. Mackenzie is a great putter, and Corey Connors is the guy I probably like the most because he can hit the middle of the greens. You know, Southern Hills is all about gritty around the greens, getting up and down, but it's mostly about hitting the greens and aiming to the middle of the green and putting to the corners.
Right.
And Tiger's the best ever at that, but Corey Connors is a hell of an iron player. So you got to put him in as a dark horse.
Right, there we go. All right, well, you'll have much more. A special 7:30 start for Tee It Up on Saturday. You ready for that?
That's not that special for me, but I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on.
All right, good stuff. 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning for Tee It Up with a full update. We'll be through the cut line of the opening couple of days of the PGA Championship. Appreciate the time as always, Kev.
Thanks, boys.
All right, there's Kevin Hame joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. We'll take a break at 9:30, come back. We'll revisit a crazy night in Cowtown last night in Game 1 of the Battle of Alberta. We'll do that next on TSN 1200. 9:39 here on a Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. We are here until 10 o'clock. That's when Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, and Kenny Walls will take over in the box. Lee and AJ are on the drive this afternoon alongside Maddie Vowles. Don't forget, our coverage of the Stanley Cup playoffs will pick up tomorrow night with Game 2 of the Rangers and Carolina, with Carolina up one game to none after their comeback overtime win, thanks to former Sen legend Ian Cole with the overtime winner 3 minutes into extra time. And that will segue smoothly into our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Now, again, because this is a Twitter poll, we're limited to four options. Otherwise, Ian Cole most certainly would have been one of the options that we would have added. The question today is this: which former senator would you most like to see win the Stanley Cup? All right. So your options are Nick Paul of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Cody Ceci of the Edmonton Oilers, Mika Zibanejad of the New York Rangers, or I don't really care is your fourth option. Now, before we get to what you guys are going to vote, Ian Mendez has weighed in and said that Anthony Duclair would like a word into, that's what Ian wrote in response. You guys had Anthony Duclair as the fourth option.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say I overruled.
No, you told us to change it. Okay. So, I don't know.
Well, I just wanted, doesn't matter to me or I don't care as an option. And if there was one person that should come off, in my belief, Anthony Duclair had by far the shortest time here in Ottawa of those four. Would we agree?
He's an all-star.
He had the shortest amount of time here in Ottawa. of the four of them, if we had to leave one off, am I right in saying he would probably be the one to leave off? No?
I'm not sure. Yes, you decided. I don't know.
Out of those four?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm giving Duclair the boot.
I mean, some people might say Mika because he's been gone for five, 6 years, yeah. Whatever.
He was here a lot longer. I think he's had a larger impact on the fan base than Anthony Duclair.
Okay.
Mika has.
All right.
Also, honorable mention to Derek Stepan, who's still in the league.
That's true, yes.
I always forget that until they... And Mira said, what's a healthy scratch? Well, you're healthy and you're not quite good enough to make the 18 skaters.
All right, so where are you guys voting? Hammer, you'll get the first take. Former Sen would you most like to see win? Nick Paul, CeCe, Zibanejad? Doesn't really matter to me.
It doesn't really matter to me. They're not with this. I want to see the Senators win the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
I do not need to see. You're gone. You're away from the team.
Are you almost anti one of these guys winning?
No.
I would prefer that, like, those types of people with those attitudes, JR, like, don't even touch the poll question. If you've got enough energy
to get on that poll. I can touch it because I've got an option. I don't care.
Well, and that's, I don't understand how anybody could take the time to go on a site and vote I don't care. Why would you not? Now, I say this very sincerely. With what Nick Paul has gone through, with what Cody Ceci went through when
What's Nick Paul gone through?
Well, he just being waived 600 times. I'm just saying
that was a long time
ago. Well, it's a great story. And Mika's a manager, the way he's evolved, JR. I'm being very sincere and saying I think there's a legit argument for all three in that. I think they're all great stories. That's all. So I'm very passionate about it where you know, Hammer doesn't really care.
Okay. Well, how many times have you gone and said, oh, wow, yeah, that's right. Cody Ceci's in Edmonton. We've all forgotten that he's even playing with the Oilers during this season.
But the other one, and here's what I will say, guys. I care. I would love to see one of those three guys win the Stanley Cup way more than I care about the Stanley Cup ever being won by a Canadian team other than Ottawa at this point. Like, I do not feel, I don't understand that theory at all on let's bring the cup back to Canada, whatever.
Okay, so which of the three, since apparently you're Mr. Ante, it doesn't matter to me, which of the three? What do you want to see?
I'd go Mika Zibanejad because and Nick Paul's a good story. CeCe's a good story. If it is done by Mika Zibanejad, that to me, for what I saw him as a young player, JR, how far he's come, and I still have major question marks as a playoff player, if the Rangers win, he's going to play an absolutely key part. And if he could ever deliver that, that would be pretty astonishing. And like I said, I was, you know, I was always very hard on him when he played here, but he has evolved into, I really appreciate how much he's grown, just like Nick Paul. You know what I mean? It's these are real good stories. So I'm going Mika Zibanejad.
Okay. Right.
And you, JR?
Well, I'm the one that offered up the option of it doesn't matter to me. So obviously that is the direction that I'm going. And it's not like, hey, I'd be super happy for all three of these guys. And especially if they decided to bring the Stanley Cup on their day back to Ottawa, I think pretty good chance Cody Ceci would. Nick Paul? Yeah, was his wife? His wife is from here. I know she worked here at CHEO. Is his wife from? I'm not positive.
I'm almost positive she's from Ottawa.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe a chance there, especially because he's just moved from here. Mika Zibanejad, much slighter chance it would come back here. So of the two of Nick Paul or Cody Ceci, I'd probably go Nick Paul, maybe because it's more recent. Yeah. But to be quite honest with you, if it comes down to a whichever, if one of those three guys is in the Stanley Cup final and they're playing a team that doesn't have it, I'm not cheering for the team because one of those three. It doesn't mean as much to me.
No.
I'm not being anti, and I'm not being negative when I say it doesn't matter to me.
No.
It really honestly doesn't matter to
me. No, and I think this would be different, JR, if we were talking about Carlson, Stone, Spezza in the prime of his career, right? You know, then you'd have a bit of a different feel, and I think people were very passionate about Mark Stone. So, no, I agree on it. And Mika Zibanejad, well, other than New York, I'm going to guess that the cup is going back to Stockholm, right? I mean, he'd be bringing it back to Sweden versus come back to Ottawa.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. We want you to vote on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question, including you, Ian Mendez, on our website at tsn1200.ca. Okay, so it was crazy last night in Calgary. There's no doubt about that. Nobody suspected that Game 1 of the Battle of Alberta would turn out the way that it did. Not in terms of who won. I think a lot of people picked Calgary to beat Edmonton, but I don't think anybody predicted that the final score would be 9-6. And here was the exclamation point on the victory.
Lindholm taps it to Tkachuk, who shoots and scores. And as Flames fans throw their hats onto the ice here at Scotiabank Saddledome, Matthew Tkachuk celebrates his hat trick right in front of the Oilers bench.
There you go. And that was coming after he had done some excellent chirping of Evander Kane at a couple of different opportunities, including once, and you tweeted it out, Hammer, the little gif of he and Kane and Matthew Tkachuk, who is one of the best trash talkers in the NHL, is doing the, with his hockey gloves on, doing the thumb across the fingers, and that you can see a mouth, needs some money, which is, wow, that is...
That's good.
It's
that's
next good. Level, and Evander Kane has come in, been a breath of fresh air for Edmonton, and he loves to chirp and everything else, JR, but at that point there, that's a stinger. That's a stinger. Only recovery then is F off. Like that, you don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, just turn away.
Because the Tkachuk seem to, on every level, have their financial house in order.
Yes.
So I got to be honest with you. I probably wish I was part of the family at this point. So, no, it's really, really difficult to overcome that. And, hey, 9-6, and this is back to Oilers Flames, JR. Maybe it's just my memories of the G-Man. Maybe memories of Doug Gilmour, all the great goals. I mean, it was just El Stinko goaltending. I mean, and not that Grant Fear and Verney didn't have some tough nights, but Like, you're watching these, and the first three, and old Smitty's arm is, like, waving around, missing the puck.
And he's done this since I've watched him. He stabs at the puck.
Oh, no, he does.
Right? Well, he plays the position.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other goalie that plays it like he does.
Well,
he kind of lunges at it.
Well, if you're going to steal a nickname, he should be called the Cat instead of Felix Potvin. Because he does it like when a cat is hitting yarn. Because what he does is he drops down, and then he realizes, I've got to explode, and he does. And in the case of Markstrom, he was like Edward Scissorhands yesterday, and he had lost his left arm. So he was just like moving it around with his elbow tucked in.
Uh-huh.
He was turned sideways. I think he was watching Matt Murray highlights. So he'll adjust that, and we'll see how Smitty bounces back. But it was interesting. And to your point, like, I'm assuming for the Calgary players, this just feels like utopia, right? Like, wow, this is like all of a sudden you got the shooter tutor in net versus a goaltender
versus
after
Ottinger.
What we saw.
Yeah.
Ottinger allowed 13 goals in 7 games. You got 9 in game 1 against the Oilers.
They had Calgary as many goals last night as they had in the first 4 games of this series against Dallas. 4 games.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it was. And I asked the question to Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
And I believe it to be true. When it was 6-2 for Calgary in the second period, I'm still watching at this point, and I am expecting them at that point because they're a good defensive team.
Yeah.
Okay, we got all the goals we need. I know McDavid's on the other side, but we're gonna lock it down now.
Yeah.
And it was like they were when I walk my lab and the lab sees water, and you're trying to, and I don't have her leashed.
Yeah.
And she looks at me, and I look at her, and I say, no. And she looks at me, and then she goes and starts the gallop towards the water, and she cannot be stopped. It was like that for the Flames last night. It was like, oh, my God, look at all this ice. I can't believe how we throw it around we're throwing around the ice like the Harlem Globetrotters against Edmonton. This is so different than Dallas. I can't help myself. I don't want to play any defense. I want to go get my own goals.
Yeah.
That was exactly the way it played out last night.
And I just think the human nature element, Jared, let down. Then the other part, there's no doubt in the last 17 years under the new rules, the absolute best defense is possessing the puck, right? And when you do fall back, and if you fall back against Connor McDavid and that crew, hey, things are going to end up happening. So, and I think there was some astonishment. There was probably a little bit of flattening out, right? This had been so difficult against Dallas, and now you're looking around and thinking, not that you're expecting you're going to sweep them and win every game, but you're kind of like, wow, this is a bit of a gong show out here.
Yeah, indeed. So I believe that Jacob Markstrom, I think whatever it was last night with low glove is a technical thing that he'll be able to improve, and I think he was playing deep in his net. I think, you know, of the three who played last night, I have the most confidence that he'll be back in form for the next game.
Yeah.
Mike Smith, I know you're a big believer. I'm somewhat of a believer he'll put in a much better performance. I have zero confidence in Koskinen. I've always had zero confidence in Koskinen. I don't think there's any way that they're going to go to Koskinen unless they're down 2 or 3-0, and it's just absolutely desperate at that point. But for Calgary, I mean, I don't want to say that they'd be wiping their brow going, oh, we escaped with one last night. I mean, they should have won that game based on actually how it played out.
Yeah.
But they did get the 1-0 lead. They were skating circles around Edmonton most of the night. Like, McDavid had – let me put it this way – Edmonton had no power play goals. So just in terms of a plus minus, and I know it's a throwaway stat for a lot of people, but he had 4 points. So he scored 4 even strength points. He was on the ice for 4 even strength goals. He ended up as a minus one. Now one is into an empty net. So he was even on the night by putting up 4 points. So even when, even when Connor McDavid was on the ice, Calgary was scoring goals last night.
Yeah.
So he played even on the night when he had a 4-point.
Well, and you watch Dreisaitl, JR. That's not the same player.
No.
So take that element away, turn it into McDavid, and hey, it is hard as an individual, as great as he is, to continue to do that. And at the end of the day, that is a better team, are the Calgary Flames and their ability. And again, Dallas fell back. Their goaltender was outstanding. The Flames should be able to control the puck a whole lot more.
So game two in that series will go tomorrow night. As the hats were raining down for Matthew Tkachuk, one person who was not willing to give up their lid was Keith Tkachuk. Yeah. In the stands. Of some pretty good video of
that
of
might
him.
Get a wrench tomorrow.
And listen, the fans around him, and you can see him essentially. He's got his hat off,
yeah.
And he's being encouraged quite obviously by the other people around him, the other fans, going, "Got to throw your hat."
Yeah.
And he's like. You can almost see you read his mind going, I need the hat. I don't know why, whether he's got a sunburned head,
whether
he's trying to protect the flow or what's going on.
But he goes, lips. He says, it's my hat.
Yeah.
So he's got no
I'm not
flow.
Throwing it.
Now, did anybody see what the hat was?
I was trying to make out the
because
logo.
Because here's the one thing I will say. His little pullover he has is University of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
where his daughter plays.
Yes.
If it's a Virginia hat, you know, depending on, you know, is there some importance to it?
Mm.
Was it a matching ensemble?
Fair point.
He was like, nope, not going to end up throwing it.
Brady was there, I won't say shotgunning beers, but certainly having some fun.
He has
confirmed that he's going to be there for the game on Friday, and then he's heading home.
Yeah.
At least for now, staying out of enemy territory in Edmonton, which is probably wise at the end of the day. if Calgary were to get through to the next round, can you imagine, Simmer, if St. Louis somehow found a way to beat Colorado?
Yeah.
Of course, the Tkachuks are in St. Louis, and that's where Brady spends most of his off season. That would be a nice, easy commute, right? Just a nice car ride over to the rink to support
the
brother.
Surprisingly enough, JR, who do you think's playing home Saturday night? The St. Louis Blues.
So there you go.
Slide in
And Robbie Thomas of the Blues. I don't know if he still lives with the Tkachuks. Yeah. I know he lived there in the year they won the Cup.
Yeah.
I think they're incredibly close with him in particular. It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe Brady's at the game on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe get up close and personal and see what the Avs are all about. Had talked to an NHL coach yesterday and talked about, hey, God, how overwhelming they can be. And one thing he just talked about, hey, they may be that, but it's also the fact of they've got four below the puck all the time, meaning they are a tight group. They are going to be tough to beat. But, hey, for Brady, that's been a hoot. He's gotten a whole lot of fun. Now, if they win game two and if they lose 3 and 4, is there a callback by the Flames Army? Or what do they call themselves? Do they have anything going? Like whatever they are.
See a red?
And they also had to cancel that last night, right?
Yeah, the lot was closed. It was too windy.
Too windy. So.
Out of an abundance of caution, as they say
now. So we'll see if he gets the bat call to come back.
I thought that was going to be a bad omen. I thought when they announced that the red lot was going to be closed because of weather that was. Because my memory immediately went to Ottawa. Remember this when they went to the final? They won game 3 at home on the Saturday, the beautiful weather. They got there, so they were down 2-1, and game 4 was on a Monday. Hammer, you'll remember this.
I do.
And the outside was just like it was upside down on the Saturday. One of the funnest scenes I've ever been a part of. Monday, they had to cancel it because it was torrential rain, and that was Anaheim beat Ottawa that night. Alfredson shot the puck at Niedermeyer, and as we know, it was over in 5. So I thought it was a bad omen when the weather closed.
You never play ice hockey on Mondays at home anyway, JR. And then when you got bad weather, that's just bad karma all the way along. And from an Ottawa perspective, Rick Monday on a Monday, playing on a Monday, nothing good happens
on a
Monday.
I don't like Mondays. No. Yeah. Eli writes on text, good morning, boys. I was on my way home yesterday from a family vacation in Europe with a connecting flight in Frankfurt to Montreal and saw Pierre Dorion on our flight, the Sens GM. Have a great day. That's from Eli. So if that's the case, I'm guessing it is. Otherwise, Eli wouldn't write us. No. That would have been a quick trip over to the worlds. So if that was the case, Simmer, if he's going over there, would he be – he's not going over there to go watch Drake Batherson, Thomas Chabot, Timmy Stützle to play games. He saw them all year. So he's going over there
– to watch Holden?
No, not Nick Holden either. Is he going over there because he's got his eye on somebody, a European free agent?
No, Slavkovsky. Absolutely, Jared.
Scouting?
It's a draft. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, it's also just to get out of Dodge. And somebody said to me, hey, he looked like he had some company at the game. Maybe brought his girlfriend. Just a chance to get out. But I would guess that, Jared. Mm. Now, it could be other things. I mean.
Yeah, Kuzmenko's not there, of course.
No,
Russians aren't there.
But so. I joked about 25 years ago going to watch Hossa play. So, absolutely, to get some live eyes. And the thing about the tournament, it's a little more watered down, so you might get I don't know how much he's playing for Slovakia, but no, for sure would end up being that. And like I say, it's just
no
also,
chance he's there at 7, but anyway.
No, but it's just nice to jump out to, right? Take a bit of a break, and that's your typical if you're flying to Helsinki, a little Helsinki via Frankfurt right back to Montreal.
Are you going like for are you taking a trip to the cuz he was here at least to the middle, if not later, last week. Like, this was not a long trip over there.
No, but
it's a long way to go for three or four days.
No, but it's you have an opportunity, whatever it ends up being. Now, wouldn't exactly call that vacation. It's about 12 degrees. It's cool. But it is still nice and it's still worthwhile. And no, there'd be, that's not uncommon for a general manager. And if somebody's very involved in scouting, JR, why not? You know what I mean? And so, as I said, and the turnaround of only going that long, the nice part when you come back.
Yes. No,
you're still, yeah, exactly. You're still on Eastern time.
Yeah. All right. And speaking of quickly on, I've even forgot his first name now. Andrei Kuzmenko. Was that his name?
Yeah.
The Russian guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There have been various reports because he is a bit of the bell of the ball, it would appear, of the European-based free agents.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of linking of the Senators to him in the midst of the KHL season. Mm-hmm. It's gone really quiet as far as, what reports are saying, whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
Most of the kind of the insiders that are keeping people abreast of what's going on have more linked. I think Vancouver was in there. It was a couple of Western-based.
Yeah, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then one other. And then the obvious was Ottawa was not at least mentioned in that. I think that came out of Elliot Friedman.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's gone quiet, either that either Ottawa has lost interest or they're moving in a different direction or they have been let know by the agent that you're out of the running.
Yeah, for sure. And it is Dan Milstein, who, of course, delivered Zub and was part of that and, has a lot of Russian players. So, it's so much of that.
Surprised he hasn't signed yet? Because his contract was up at the end of April, right?
No, not necessarily. I don't know that there'd be a particular rush there. I don't even know if I doubt he'd wait until free agency. But I'm assuming this guy's coming over and seems to think he can play in a top six, which, I'm always a little nervous about. But, yeah, I think it would be just questioning, hey, take a little time, dust settles, not to mention your country's wrapped up in the middle of a hot mess right now.
Yes. Eh? Yeah. Well, that would be all the more reason to get out of Dodge.
Yeah, very much so.
The research is over. The hat that Keith Tkachuk did not want to throw out onto the ice, his much prized hat, is from O.B. Clark's St. Louis Restaurant.
Oh,
that makes sense. Hockey bar in the Lou.
Oh, that makes sense.
That is the quote on the website. He did not want to get rid of it.
Well,
you can't find another one in St. Louis.
Well, here's the thing.
It's your son here.
You don't wear hats.
Yeah.
I'm a big hat.
Not at work.
I'm a big hat guy. Like I have a, to my wife's chagrin, or charging, I have a large number of hats scattered around the house. And every time I leave the house, if I'm not coming to work, I usually throw a hat on because my hair is askew. But of all the hats I have, and I have a number of them, I've got one go-to hat. So if that's his go-to, then I understand why he didn't want to give it up.
But I also think
another one,
and he has a bit of a gamer. But he's also got a large melon, and he is extremely sunburnt, and he's got to go down and visit afterwards and be around people. So I think he's doing a bit of hiding.
If that's your gamer, you're not giving it up. Yeah, that's why I've always gone with.
Yeah.
Always the advice is backup hat. Old soily hat that you can throw on to take it to a game. So if a home team player gets a hat trick, you can throw it on the ice and not feel bad about it.
And if you're big Walt and you're pretty intimidating, you just grab somebody else's hat and toss it.
Or just throw Brady on the ice.
Yeah, that's true.
And just toss him on. He'd probably be game for it, actually.
Yeah,
Go ahead, try it, Walt.
Yeah.
Right into the netting.
O.B. Clark has not been around as long as a Peking duck across the street over there.
Coming soon.
Which was 1864.
Uh-huh.
O.B.'s since 1978.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right. With that, we'll put a wrap on the show.